Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I am Adam Kimmelman and Mike Morial. We survived the 2021 NHL Draft. First round Friday, rounds 2 through 7. Saturday took a little bit longer than we expected, but it was a very long weekend, but a lot of interesting news, interesting topics.
It was a lot of fun, Adam, right? First round Friday night, went deep into the night. Second round was awesome. We went about 5-6 hours, but just seeing the names being selected, a lot of the guys that we expected to go, it was nice to see. We have a great show today, though, to put a ribbon on the 2021 season and the draft. Craig Button, TSN Director of Scouting, NHL Analyst, former NHL General Manager, will join us to discuss some of the hot topics from the 21 draft and a look ahead to the 22 draft. And speaking of, both drafts, Adam, you know, obviously we have some great content on NHL.com. My top 10 moments from the draft, this past draft, a legacy piece on many of the players chosen over the 2 days who have NHL dads, had NHL dads. And of course, for any fan out there interested in learning more about the players your team selected, you just need to listen to past episodes of NHL Draft Class. They remain evergreen. Their players are there. You can learn more about them. Ducks fans can learn about the number 3 pick, Mason McTavish, in our interview with Joey Tanute of Central Scouting. Coyotes fans can learn about number 9 pick Dylan Gunther in our interview with John Williams. And the Blue Jackets, I thought Adam had a great draft, and they can get great insight into number 5 pick Kent Johnson from the University of Michigan, or number 12 pick Cole Sillinger in our discussion with Greg Rajanin of Central Scouting. So some great insight there into those players and some content that fans can definitely go back and listen to learn more about those players.
Absolutely. We're going to talk more about the 21 draft and look ahead to 2022 with our guest today, Craig Button from TSN. Craig, thank you very much for joining us today on NHL Draft Class.
Oh, it's always my pleasure to join you and Mike, and things are good. Things are good. It's kind of, I'm chuckling because here we are, just completed the draft. We've got free agency beginning, and then, you know, everything's getting prepared with World Junior Showcase in Plymouth, and Canada's got their camps going. Hlinka Gretzky's going to be going. Geez, we can't even finish one draft class before we get into a new one.
There's no such thing as an off season anymore.
Yep, never. So, Craig, right off the bat, I'm curious. What did you think about the Devils choosing Luke Hughes at number 4? They had their choice of defensemen on the board, Edvinson, obviously, Brant Clark, and went with the player who basically every Devils fan wanted in the organization.
Certainly Jack Hughes wanted him.
Yeah, I think what's most important about it is that's who the Devils wanted, right? I mean, to me, all those 3 defensemen that were available for them at 4, Luke, Simon, and Brant, they all have different styles of games, and they all bring something different to the table. But, you know, they're all going to be, in my view, top pair defensemen. They're all going to be able to contribute in significant ways. And I say this all the time. You know what? They're all really good. I call them top pair defensemen. So to me, when you categorize them and you evaluate everything that they bring, take the guy, celebrate the guy you're taking. Luke's a really good player. He's competitive. He skates obviously well. They get that from the mother, by the way, Ellen, not from the father, Jimmy. I've seen both of them skate, and I can tell you Ellen is way better than Jimmy. So the kids got that gene, which is good for them. And then he's going to be a player. Luke is going to be a player that's going to play in every situation, and he's going to play them well, and he's going to play them competitively and hard. And so when you put all that together and you look at where the Devils are at, they draft last year, Mukko Meduolin, they traded for Kevin Ball. They have Ty Smith. I mean, this is just another really good young defenseman to add to the group.
So, Craig, just looking back on Friday night as a whole, what were some of the bigger surprise moments to you, either players being picked earlier, players being picked later than you thought? You know, to me, it was maybe Tyler Boucher at number 10 to Ottawa, but I'm curious what you thought was sort of, put your hair back a little bit and said, oh, that's interesting to me.
Yeah, you know, Adam, when I look back, and you guys will recall this 2018 draft, that's Rasmus Dahlin went first and Andrei Svechnikov went number 2. We all knew who was going 1 and 2. We all were pretty sure who the next 10 guys were going to be. We just didn't know what order they were going to go in. And, Noah Dobson goes 12. I know there was teams picking in much earlier than that, if the guy that they selected wasn't there, they were taking Noah Dobson. I think it was very same this year. I think after Owen Power, we knew who the next 8 players were. We just didn't know what order they were going to go in. particularly in the draft. And, you know, the Dylan Gunther going nine, does it surprise me? Yes and no, because, you know, I think that he's a really good player, but somebody could have stepped up at three, Anaheim. But, you know, he, because of the other defensemen in the group, you know, he ends up falling down to the Arizona Coyotes. So, that, to me, through nine, Adam and Mike, there was no surprises in terms of the players. Certainly now it becomes interesting, right? So the Ottawa Senators take Tyler Boucher, and, you know, he's a rugged player that, you know, wants to push the game physically and play with that type of assertiveness. And, you know, people can say they're surprised, and, you know, we look at players and we evaluate players and we rank players. But at the end, again, it goes back to what I said about Devils and Luke Hughes. Take the guy you want. Don't worry what anybody else thinks, because I've learned this over the years. If you draft a guy that the fans wanted, or draft a guy that got universal praise from the media, if it doesn't turn out, they're the same people that are going to tell you were an idiot. So just take the player you like that you really feel strongly about. It didn't surprise me, Adam, that Sebastian Kosa was the first goalie taken. It didn't. He's right in the class with Wallstad. And just because Wallstad went 20th doesn't mean he's any less of a stellar goaltender as a potential number one. So, you know, as you go through that, we knew there was going to be two goaltenders drafted, because that's how good these two guys are, Kosa and Wallstad.
Certainly are. Is there a player, Craig, you feel strongly about that was chosen on day two of the draft that you feel maybe one day, you know, could have first round value?
I mean, I love Josh Doan. I think that Josh Doan would have been a really good pick last year in the draft late, but he didn't get drafted. And now he goes 37th in this year's draft. I mean, I think that he's just a really, really good, strong player. I think a couple of the kids that played at the National Team Development Program, for one reason or another, they didn't get drafted as high as I thought they would. And that's Sasha Pastujoff and Dylan Duke. You know, I thought that those two players, and, you know, the team wasn't as good this year. You know, a big evaluation was made at the U18. The team didn't have as good a outing as we've seen in previous years. In fact, over the previous 15 seasons, right? I mean, they go there and rule the U18. So, you know, I think Benjamin Goodrow, who led Canada to the gold at the U18, is a real terrific player. You know, I think the Vegas Golden Knights, Daniel Chaika, you know, another player, he reminds me of Jonas Brodin. So, you know, I gave you five, Mike, you know, that I think that are really good players that I think, you know, watching them over the next period of time, you know, 12, 18, 24 months, it's going to be interesting to watch them, because I think those are all players that have a lot of potential ahead of them.
Yeah, that's a great choice of players there, Craig. I you know, the rich get richer, right? Tampa Bay Lightning getting Duke where they did. I mean, I love Dylan Duke and the prospects of what he may bring sometime down the road. Yeah. Craig, on July 20, Logan Mailloux renounced himself from the 21 draft consideration. He asked all 32 teams to refrain from picking him. We know the backstory here. And the Canadians chose the defenseman with the number 31 pick in the first round. Craig, I want to know, one, what's going through your mind when you first hear the pick? And two, your opinion of this selection.
Let's talk about the lead up. So we know that, you know, he was convicted of a crime in Sweden, paid a fine, and that all came to light. So now Logan Mailloux says, wait a second here, you know what, I haven't demonstrated the requisite maturity to earn the privilege, and he used the word privilege, to be drafted in the NHL. And what he wanted to do was demonstrate that he had the requisite maturity, and he wanted to demonstrate that to all teams, so he asked not to be selected in the 2021 draft, which I think that's part of the process of, you know, trying to ensure, number one, okay, is your apology heartfelt? Not what you feel, but does the victim feel that way? Because ultimately you have to satisfy the victim and make sure that the victim feels, okay, yeah, that's heartfelt. I feel satisfied there. Then Logan can continue on, you know, in the other areas, you know, okay, demonstrating that, okay, people make mistakes. He can demonstrate that, hey, my character wasn't represented very well through my, really what was a significant mistake. And now I can demonstrate going forward what I want to do. He also said, I didn't want to be a distraction. So what ends up happening, right? So here's what ends up happening, Mike and Adam. What ended up happening was exactly what he outlined. He ended up being now a distraction. You know, the story now, instead of all the other players that are drafted, it starts to become about the Montreal Canadiens. And this is where I'm going to shift to the Montreal Canadiens. And the Montreal Canadiens, okay, they talked about how we're going to help Logan along his journey. Well, that journey changed significantly. And they made no mention of the journey to help the victim. So, you know, instead of Logan being able to go and do what he needed to do, do what he felt was necessary to do this season, and then really demonstrate and come back next year, the Montreal Canadiens completely disregarded that. Now you have Logan Mailloux that whatever happens now going forward, I don't know, development camp, rookie camp, training camp, you know, now he's going to be, instead of him being able to show and demonstrate, you know, all the necessary things, to move past this. Number one, you know, the victim understanding, hey, you know, it is heartfelt or feeling that and recognizing that and acknowledging it. And then now he's going to do it in a completely different spotlight. I was shocked, Mike and Adam. I really was. And we can talk about the player and we know that he was rated high. We know that he's got attributes and everything, but it's taken all away from them. And now the young man and the victim, they have to go through a different path, you know, to arrive at that reconciliation, that apology, that heartfelt feeling that he's sincere. And Logan's got to demonstrate it. You know, I think the Montreal Canadiens put everybody, the league and the Logan and the victim, and not in any order, should start with victim, league player, in a bad spot. That's what I think. I think there was it was unnecessary because the player recognized this is what was going to happen. And we all saw what happened, right? So, you know, it's unfortunate. I wish the best for the victim and Logan to be able to move through this and to find that necessary healing that will allow them both to move forward. Because until they both move forward, really doesn't matter about the Montreal Canadiens, in my view. That's being blunt. That's being straightforward. But this is now about the victim and about Logan Mailloux, you know, moving forward on their path of healing in both regards.
One more about the 21 draft before we spin it forward to the 22 NHL draft. You know, we with the exception of Owen Power, who it sounds like is going to go back to Michigan for at least one more season, were there any players picked either Friday or Saturday that you could see playing in the NHL next season?
Well, I mean, okay, so there's a couple of older Russians, you know, Ilya Safonov and Nikolai Bartikov, you know, that they're 20-year-old, they're big, strong players. So, you know, people don't really know those players, right? So I'm not going to mention those. Let's stay on the focus of the early players. Outside of Matty Beniers, I don't see any other player that can come into the National Hockey League and play and contribute to any extent. And, you know, we've talked about this. Jack Hughes, Kaapo Kakko, and Kirby Dach, 1-2-3 in 2019. Alexi Lafreniere, number one in 2020. They all had their challenges coming into the league. And so Owen going back to Michigan, I think will benefit him greatly. Ultimately, it'll benefit the Buffalo Sabres. And, you know, Matty Beniers, because he's such a smart player, because he plays a forward position, I think that he might be the guy, you know, other than that. Outside of those guys, I would say nobody. I would say nobody is ready to come into the National Hockey. I mentioned the older Russians just because, you know, they're bigger, more physically mature, and there might be a couple other guys like that in the draft. But I think for the most part, you know, this is a draft where we'll be talking about the 2022-2023 season when we'll see the opportunity for a larger number of these players to find their way to the NHL.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you there, Craig. I think a lot of these kids, obviously we know a lot of them going back to college, which is great to see. They can get that college experience and maybe develop and learn even more. William Eklund, I know a lot of people have said that you know, maybe he has a chance to play in the NHL next year, but I feel as though he needs another season in the SHL to mature and grow. Obviously he was hit with COVID. He had some injury problems last year. So he definitely needs to, at least in my opinion, to go back to the Swedish Hockey League and learn some of the ropes there. But the 2022 draft is officially on our radar, right? Can we say that now?
Oh, yeah, we can.
So not that we weren't paying attention to players like Shane Wright and Brad Lambert already, but Craig, in a discussion we had, you described Shane Wright to me of Kingston and who will probably play a huge role for Canada at the 22 World Junior Championship as an uppercase Patrice Bergeron. Can you explain?
Well, and you know, usually, and I will explain that, and usually what I mean is when we compare types of players, you know, I'm not saying that's the style of game he plays. And when I say uppercase, I'm really what I'm saying about Shane is that's how good he is. I'm not saying Patrice Bergeron is a Hall of Famer. So I'm not saying he's better than, I'm just saying that he plays the game in my view, exactly the same way as Patrice, you know, with the brains, with the intensity, with all the skills in every single area of the game, he touches the ball. So, you know, that's why I say he's like that. I mean, honestly, like we just talked and I'm glad you let it off with this. So I think Shane Wright could play in the NHL right this coming season. That's how good he is. I think, you know, we talk about Owen Power and Matty Beniers, and I think Shane Wright's good enough to play in the league this year. But, you know, I'm not one. I'm a patient guy. I think it benefits players by playing, dominating their level, going through the experiences, as you mentioned out. But he is that good. He is and you know, he's competitive, he's smart, he's skilled, you know, he's strong, and like, you know, he gets out on the ice and it doesn't matter where you put him on the ice or what situation he's in, he's excelling. And that's exactly what Patrice Bergeron has done for a lot of years for the ball and continues to do for the Boston Bruins. You know, you think about him and Crosby and Ovechkin, who have seen really no dip in their game, you know, significant dip at all. They're still top performing players for their respective teams. And, you know, Shane Wright, I don't throw that out lightly. When I compare somebody to Patrice Bergeron, it's because they have that type of game. And to me, Shane absolutely has it.
Craig, you know, another player that we've heard a lot about for a little while now for the 22 draft is Brad Lambert. I'm sure he's high up in your list of players for the draft. You know, he made his Liga debut at age 15 two seasons ago, played World Juniors. He's played under 18s twice. He's got NHL bloodlines with his father playing pro. His uncle is Lane Lambert, the Islanders associate coach. I'm sure you've had the chance to see Brad in some high-level competition, high-level tournaments. When you've watched him, what has stood out about him?
Well, number one, Adam, it's his skating and the pace of the game that he plays. This might sound really stupid, but I think Brad's going to benefit by playing at higher levels. You know, when you see all the skills in his game and you see the ability to shoot the puck and handle the puck and think quick and skate. And I find that when he plays at with his age group, and that's not to diminish anything, is that his game is faster and it's at a higher level. So I don't see the same, end results. And I don't think it's because of Brad. I think it's because the players that are playing with him cannot extract that from him. When I see him moving to the NHL and he's playing with better players, and he's going to get the puck in the right spots, he's going to be able to hit. What I would say is I think Brad's advanced. And somebody might say, well, why doesn't he adjust? I think he does adjust. I think that's why you don't see him putting up the huge points, because he's such a strong team player. He's not going to just take the puck and go end to end. That's not his game. He could, and he's shown flashes of that. But he's such a strong team player that he fits in and he plays the game with his team and with his teammates. But I think as he moves to higher levels and he gets closer to the NHL and the NHL, he's a player that just he's just so comfortable. It doesn't matter where he is on the ice, he's comfortable. He's comfortable shooting the puck. He's comfortable making a play. He knows how to give the puck and get it back. And so when I look at that type of offensive player with those types of skills and attributes, I really do see a high-end player. And, you know, watching him, I mean, obviously he's going to get a chance to come back and then play at the World Junior Tournament one more time. I mean, he's played everything. U-17, Hlinka Gretzky, U-18, you know, World Junior, played in the SM Liga. I mean, I just think that, like, you know, it speaks volumes to how talented he is, because he's been doing all these things from the time he was 15, 16, 17 years of age. And I think the future is very bright for Brad Lambert.
It's also about the only Finnish name I can spell without having to having to look it up with, 18 times before I learn it. But another player I want to ask you about, Simone Nemec, and I hope I pronounced that right. I'm sure you'll correct me. Is he the best defenseman in the class of 22? You know, he's got 2 years of experience already in the Slovak Extraliga, but is he the best player at his position for this year's draft?
Well, here's what I would say. I like, you know, when we talk about Shane and we talk about Brad, and then, you know, we can start to say, hey, these players stand out. I also mentioned Ivan Voroshnichenko. I mean, the Russian player. I mean, he's a superb, superb player. He's in that category with Brad Lambert, and he'll be at the World Junior Tournament. He's a real top-notch player. But Simon is a really good player, and I think, is he the best? I don't know. Is he amongst the best? Yes, he is. There's no question about it, right? And I think, and for me, Adam, because of the last 16 months, and, you know, this year is going to be busy for all of us, because, you know, we get a chance to watch these defensemen players over a period of time. So we get a really good barometer on them, and who looks really good and who looks like really promising and in different categories of player in the draft. And to me, when I watch Simon, I see a player that's got all the qualities. So it's not that he doesn't. I just don't know who the other players are right now. There's a number. I'm sure there's going to be some players that are going to merge and find their way there and be in the discussion with Simon. But certainly when you watch him play, I mean, he's got so much poise to his game. He's got skill to his game. He's a competitor. And, you know, again, like Brad Lambert, look at how advanced he is. You look at his fellow countryman, Juraj Slafkovský, the big 6'4" centerman. I mean, these are two young men that have been playing far above their age group for a lot of years. They're pretty good, darn good players. You know, Juraj is a center and Simon is a defenseman, but they're really good players. Slovakia is going to have a real good presence at the 2022 NHL draft with those two guys.
And then last one for me, Craig. Logan Cooley was the only 22 draft eligible player on the U.S. roster for the World Junior Summer Showcase. Had a real nice season with the under-17 NTDP team. What have you liked about Logan when you've been able to watch him, and what are you looking for him with the U-18 team?
How about I like everything, you know, skating, the puck skills. I mean, he is a smooth, smooth, skilled centerman. And, you know, when he stepped up at the U-18, I mean, he wasn't just a player on that team. He was a significant player on the team. He was a significant player whenever he stepped out on the ice. So when you watch Logan play, and he's going to get a greater opportunity with the U-18 group, which is a very, very talented group. I mean, Mike, Charlie Strammel is at the World Junior Summer Showcase in Plymouth. He's not eligible until 2023, and so these are the players that are going to be. I mean, Logan Hootson. I mean, what a defenseman he is. I mean, people are going to tell you, oh, he's not that big and everything. I don't care. He's still a darn good defenseman. That's a really, really good team at the National Team Development Program, and certainly when you have Logan Cooley front and center there, no pun intended, you're going to have a chance to have a lot of success. And, you know, don't rule him out from being on the World Junior team. He is that good come December.
So, Craig, before we say goodbye, I'm curious. I don't know if Adam is curious, but I am. Are you a big coffee drinker, and how many cups do you drink a day?
I am a coffee drinker. Two cups a day, Mike.
Okay.
In the morning, we have a coffee machine at home, and it does the one type
nice
cappuccino latte. So here's usually what I do. I usually have a cappuccino in the morning, and then I have a coffee later in the morning, early afternoon. And that's it. I used to drink more coffee. I love coffee. I used to drink it more at night. I don't drink, like I said, I'm two cups a day. And that is where I'm at now.
That's perfect.
Mike warms up with two cups a day, and I keep telling him it's going to stunt his growth.
Well, it's usually two cups a day, Craig, unless I'm on draft class with Kimmelman, and then I drink about 5-6 cups. Because
I like the leaded stuff. I like when he's all leaded up and ready to go.
So
listen, Mike. But, Mike doesn't need any lead to be all ready to go. I know that.
Craig, it's always a treat to have you on NHL draft class. We appreciate you and the tireless work you do. Hopefully you have some downtime over the next few weeks to be with the family prior to gearing up for the 21-22 season. So until we talk again, my friend, thank you and stay safe.
Yeah, well, thank you guys. Your work is tireless. Your work is so incredibly informative and detailed. And, you know, I miss seeing you guys on the road, and I really can't wait to see you guys once again. And hopefully it's in Pittsburgh at the USHL Fall Classic in September. You need to be there. And if you get any resistance, maybe I'll have to phone the commissioner and tell him I need to see Mike and Adam in Pittsburgh.
There you go. Thanks, Craig.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Mike, let's put a bow on the 21 draft. You know, we've had a few days to digest what happened Friday and Saturday. What were some of the teams or some of the moves that really kind of made a check in your mind as far as, you know, what they did, who they took, the moves they made?
Yeah. You know, Adam, looking at it, there were two teams that kind of stood out to me. First, the Islanders. Obviously, they traded their first round pick to the Devils, who had two in the first. And the Islanders were able to get Atu Ratti, right? I mean, this was a player that we discussed a lot. Goran Stube was on. We discussed it with Goran and why Atu Ratti initially. We thought that he could go top three, top five in the early stages of last season. But he fell, dramatically. People were wondering why the forward would fall from Finland. And I was able to catch up with him. I wrote a story on NHL.com on the situation. And basically, you know, Ratti was telling me that, you know, he just felt as though he didn't have the ice time. He wasn't able to showcase his ability when he was in playing for Karpat and Liga. Obviously it's a tremendous team in Karpat they're loaded. They struggled this year. And I think that, kind of accelerated some of the issues, with Atu Ratti. But it was nice to see him at the World Junior Summer Showcase, Adam. And he scored 4 goals in the first exhibition game there. And
to way to make a mark.
Yeah, absolutely. And he looked real strong. And for Islanders fans to see the kid score 4 goals just after they drafted him, in the second round, that was like, he was like the talk of the day. I mean, everyone was around him speaking with him. So he was, he was excited about it. The coaching staff at Finland, you know, they told me that the expectations may have been placed too high on Ratti too early. And that was a big reason why he may have struggled last season. So we'll see, though. He was picked by the Islanders. He'll be in Finland and we'll see what he can do. And the other team real quickly, Adam, the Los Angeles Kings, I really like their draft. Obviously, they get the 8th overall pick and they took Brant Clark, the right-handed D, who we spoke a lot about. Joey Tunut on NHL draft class, he spoke very highly of Brant Clark and his offensive ability as a defenseman. So you can listen to that as well. But Francesco Pinelli was available for them with the number 42 selection from Kitchener. Comparisons to Pinelli have been, you know, Anthony Cirelli, I've heard. Obviously, the OHL season shut down. He plays for Kitchener, but he chose to play in that Alps Hockey League in Central Europe, which I thought was great. So I like that pick. And then in the second round, they were able to grab, the 59th selection, Helenius, who is at the World Junior Summer Showcase right now. And he looks really good, Adam. He's a 6'6" defenseman, 6'6" center, 201 pounds from Finland. He scored 14 points with his club team in Finland last year. There's been comparisons, and I can see it when I watched him play, to Jordan Staal. Real huge, hardworking two-way center. The Finland coaches love this kid. He played for the World Junior Championship team last year, so he would be a returner if he does make the team again. Real reliable player. Real good set of overall tools. He skates extremely well for his size, and he does all that mucking work in the corners and in front of the net. And it was interesting too, because Luke Hughes was matched against Helenius on a lot of occasions in their game on Sunday. So that was interesting to see. It was a good matchup, but I like this kid, and I like the Kings draft overall.
So they got 6'6" Quentin Byfield last year, 6'6" Samuel Hellenius this year. So the Kings are going to be good, looking good down the middle in a couple of years. But the team that stood out to me was Detroit. You know, I really like what they did. Simon Edmundson at number 6 is one of the, you know, when Craig talked about, you know, one of those three defensemen, Hughes, Clark, or Edmundson, they're all going to be they all profile to be top end number one NHL defenseman, and they got the one they wanted at number 6, and then they move up to get the goalie they need at number 15, Sebastian Cosa. And, you know, they were a team that I pegged in my mock draft at least as taking a goalie. You know, I had him taking a different goalie and I had him taking them number 6, but, you know, they move up, they're aggressive to get the guy they want. And then in the second round, they move up again and they get Shai Buyum, the defenseman from Sioux City in the U.S. Hockey League. A guy that when I've watched him, just a huge upside, a huge ceiling, a guy who just is sort of, you know, he went from Shattuck in the prep league to the USHL, a big step up, and you could see the raw skills, and there's going to be another step up when he gets to college, but a guy with a tremendous upside. You know, they get Red Savage in the fourth round, real nice center from the U.S. national team program, Carter Mazur in the third round from Tri-City in the U.S. league. I think they, you know, you look what they've added the last couple of years since Steve Yzerman was able to get in and get his own scouting staff in place. And you can see the foundation being built there in Detroit. You know, they're probably not going to be a playoff contender in 21-22, but you can see all the pieces starting to come into place where another 2 years down the line, all these draft picks that they've taken, all these young players that they've amassed, there's going to be a critical mass there where they're going to start pushing for a playoff spot here in the very not too distant future.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That's a great call, Adam. I really love the Shai Buyum pick, 6'3", 209. And he's here at the summer showcase too. When I was there over the weekend, he looks good. I know the coaching staff, head coach Nate Lehman, likes what he sees in Shai Buyum. He played for Sioux City this year. You know, he finished second among USHL rookie skaters in power play assists. Finished third rookie defenseman in points and second among USHL rookie defenseman in assists as well. So he's committed to the University of Denver, really quick in that transitional game, shifty with the puck, moves it well, skates really well for a bigger guy. He knows how to defend. I like what I see in Shai Buyum. And yeah, right. It's like Stevie Y somehow he always figures out a way to get these players, whether it be via trades, free agency, or in this case, the NHL draft. So I agree with you totally. I thought Detroit had a real nice draft as well.
Now, championship touches a player, championship touches an executive, as we're starting to see. But that is going to put a bow on the 2021 NHL draft. And we're going to take a little bit of a break here before we start loading up for the 22 NHL draft. But as Mike said earlier, if you have a question, if you want to know anything about the guys your team picked, go back and listen to some of the previous episodes of NHL Draft Class. We had scouts on, we've had players on, so you can get to know what their game is like, what kind of people they are, and it's definitely worth your time. Go back, listen to those old episodes, the previous episodes, and get to know who your future stars for your favorite team are going to be.
It was a lot of fun this year, Adam, you know, writing the stories for .com and then obviously doing the podcast with you this year. It was kind of an unpredictable season, but I think that's what made it that much more special for each of us. So good job, buddy. It was a nice season, and we look forward to 2022.
And hopefully I'll see you in actual person before we get to Montreal for the 22 draft. As the commissioner said Friday, we will have a live in-person draft. The 2022 draft will be held at Bell Center in Montreal. We don't have a date yet, but we at least know we will be in person. But as of for now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.